Escobar, das sind Daniel Bellqvist, Fredrik Zell und Robert Börming und die erste Band, eine Band aus Schweden, ob Escobar schon immer ein Trio waren.
In the beginning we were actually four people, but now we're a three-piece band, but we have two extra musicians like.
Es gibt also live extra Musiker, Frage, wozu sie die brauchen.
The producers on this album play the bass and well, we bring in whoever we need to play what we want down on the tape, so it depends. If we want strings, you know, we'll bring in a violin player, or, but I mean, Fredrik play most of the guitars and pianos, and Robert the drums and percussion, and I just sing.
The producer who did this album, he's a very good bass player, so he played the bass on the album, and he just said that, oh, we tried this and like violin things or whatever. I can't play the violin, so then we use someone to do it. And the producer also helped us to do like some programming, like violins on the synthesizers and stuff. But we try to do as much as possible ourselves, of course.
Also der Produzent hat hier unter die Arme gegriffen mit Bassspielen und Violinen und all solchen anderen Dingen, aber im Prinzip versuchen sie schon möglichst viel selbst zu machen. Das Debütwerk vor, ich glaube, 2 Jahren kam das raus, Till We're Dead, klang eigentlich sehr reif für ein Debüt. Frage, ob eigentlich vorher schon andere Sachen veröffentlicht worden sind von Escobar.
Till We're Dead was the debut album and the first single was On a Train ever. We never released anything else. Of course we've recorded demos, you know, for a lot of years. We started recording our first demos 93, 94. But we got the sign for the Till We're Dead album. So that's the first ever for us.
Also Till We're Dead war also wirklich das erste, was Escobar veröffentlicht haben. Können Sie sich dann selbst erklären, wie diese Reif irgendwie zustande kam, die Sie damals schon auf Ihrem Debütwerk hatten?
Right before we got our record deal, we planned to take loans from the bank and release our own album, because we thought we were really ready to get a record out. And well, some other people thought that at the same time, so we never had to do that, but we would have if we wouldn't have got the record deal.
I think it's much because of the producer of the first album. It's it's a very good producer and a guitarist from Sweden, and played in a lot of Swedish bands, and he's very good, and he's very much into that sound that the first album has. And he said, well, what do you think? Let's do our songs or your songs with this sound. And we said, yeah, that's exactly what we want to do.
Also der Produzent ist irgendwie verantwortlich dafür, dass das Album so klang, wie es denn war. Und ja, frage eigentlich, ob die Jungs schon vorher Musik gemacht haben, bevor es Escobar gab.
It started off with I had a band. I was helping Daniel with some guitars for his band, and Daniel helped me in my band. So we started to play together after a while. I think both of us were playing like grunge kind of music, you know. I was doing like, oh, I want to do the Alice in Chains or Nirvana music when that happened, 92 or...
Before the grunge thing, I was into rap music and in some rap groups in Sweden and in Los Angeles.
Also von Grunge über Rap, irgendwie haben sie alles verbrochen vorher. Und wenn man sich die Songs von Escobar so anhört, könnte man auf die Idee kommen, dass sie eigentlich eine klassische Musikausbildung haben.
Ja, yeah, I had that on the piano, very extreme education on piano. And also, I, you know, learned in school, you could learn instruments. I played like saxophone and stuff there. And I think that both Robert and Daniel went to the drum. Yeah.
Yeah, this was the first instrument I did. But then in the little room where we played the drums, me and my teacher, he was also a xylophone player, and I don't know, I just lost interest in drumming, and I started playing xylophone with him instead, and that's where the melodies started to interest me, I think.
In welcher musikalischen Tradition sieht sich denn die Band, eher 60er orientiert oder eher neue britische Popmusik?
I don't think folk.
I think that's closest to my heart. Absolutely.
I don't see myself in that way. I mean the first album was more 60s than 90s or 2000. And this new album is a bit more modern, but we try really to do just what we feel like at the moment. And Yeah, the new album is called There's Only Now, and that is the explanation that we just, I don't think about it. We just want to do what we want to do.
Also Frederik wollte sich nicht so ganz festlegen lassen auf Einflüsse. Daniel meint aber, dass Swedish Folk so sein Ding wäre. Frage, ob es eigentlich populäre schwedische Folkmusik gibt, von der sie dann auch beeinflusst sind.
There is a Swedish jazz piano player called Jan Johansson. I mean, he died in the 60s in car crash. But he made jazz piano versions of Swedish folk songs, old Swedish folk songs, and that's the best album I ever heard.
Also Cornelis Vreeswijk, a man, he's actually not from Sweden in the beginning, he's 20 years old, he came to Sweden, and the funny thing is that he's like the best text lyric writer in Swedish, but he came as 20 years old, from, was it from Poland or?
No,
Netherlands. Holland, yeah, Holland, of course, and he's, oh, so good songs, it's unbelievable, that is what we listen to. Of course it's hard to listen to Cornelis because it's a Swedish, very, very extremely important and good lyrics. But I mean, Jan Johansson, the piano player, it's just instrumental. You listen to it and you, I promise you, you will melt. It's extremely good, yeah.
Yeah, I was shocked the first time I heard it. I was just like, oh, I was blown away. I mean, more than any other time by music. It was incredible.
Also zwei Einflüsse haben sie hier genannt, Jan Johansson oder auch Cornelius. Irgendwie klang das gar nicht so interessant, was die Jungs da erzählt haben und ich würde mir die Sachen ganz gerne eigentlich mal selbst anhören. Aber die hier zu bekommen ist, glaube ich, so gut wie unmöglich. Erstmal ein Song von Escobar, bevor es gleich weitergeht, Tell Me I'm Wrong.
Tell me I'm wrong, but I feel so free, and some more at the same time. Tell me I'm wrong, but I feel so free, and
Tell me I'm wrong, das war in Escobar. Wo kommt die Band eigentlich ursprünglich her?
Come from a small village called Åkersberga. It's 3 miles north of Stockholm. It's very close to Stockholm. So I've been living in Stockholm now for a couple of years.
Also sie wohnen in Stockholm jetzt und anschließende Frage, wie man dort als Band eigentlich zurechtkommt.
For a band who hasn't got any recognition, it's very hard to get gigs. There are not that many places to play if you don't have a record deal or a single out. But if you do, it's sort of the only place to live in Sweden almost. Because, I mean, all the bands live there and, you know, all the record companies are in Stockholm and all the production, everything is in Stockholm, so it helps.
Also schon der Platz, wo man leben sollte als Musiker oder als Band. Und haben sich Escobar überlegt, eigentlich nach London zu gehen?
That's not really our city. We don't really.
We actually don't have that much against London at all. But the thing is, in Sweden, maybe in Germany too, a lot of young people, you know, want to go to London because it's so very cool to be there. And you know, London's the place to be. But we think that you should find whatever you have and your talents and your life. I mean, you can find that where you are instead of, you know, it's sort of the grass is greener on the other side. You know, people always think that. And we just think that you should try to stick around and, you know, make something yourself instead of trying to be something on someone else's shoulder or in London. Because the thing is, if we would have lived in the big city, like, I mean, big city, but in Stockholm, when we grew up, we probably wouldn't be here now, because Åkersberga, where we come from originally, that's, I mean, it's a really boring place, and it made us stay in our rehearsal room for 3 hours a day or something, always, 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 because there was nothing else to do at all. So there we evolved from, you know, not being able to play almost to being, I mean, all right and writing songs and everything. And then we moved to Stockholm, but that was all right. But I think if we would have been in Stockholm, it would be too much other exciting things to do, so.
Ja, ihre Philosophie ist also eher in der Einöde zu bleiben und dort sich zu langweilen und dann irgendwas selbst auf die Beine zu stellen, anstatt dem großen Hype, den großen Städten nachzulaufen, weil man dort vor lauter Überangebot gar nicht mehr kreativ sein kann, mehr oder weniger. Vor einigen Jahren gab es ja einen Hype um schwedische Popmusik. Gibt es eigentlich Bands wie Popsicle oder X-Stone eigentlich noch?
No, I mean, X-Stone, I think they produce stuff these days, you know. But Popsicle, they're doing stuff on their own, you know, the people in Popsicle. One guy's like writing songs and another one's involved in some record company or something.
Ja, diese Szene scheint also ziemlich ausgestorben zu sein. Habt ihr da eine Erklärung für?
I think it was kind of a big hype around Swedish music at that time, when you look to Japan. And I don't know, maybe they were a little bit too hooked up with living on the Swedish hype. Maybe that's the reason.
They come along in a wave of bands who come in a certain special style or way. I think that's dangerous because very few survive. Yeah, the Wannadies, I mean, we toured with them before, and but they're not that big in Sweden now. People know about them, but they don't sell that many records anymore. And the Cardigans, I mean, they haven't done anything, but the latest one must have been a success.
I think that, I mean, if they have a couple of good songs, I think they will be a major success again in Sweden.
They have passed like the line of, I mean, they can never be unsuccessful, sort of. I think they're always going to be up there if they release albums and do tours. They're above that line where you can fall down. They can't fall all the way, it seems.
Ja, also Bands wie Popsicle oder auch X-Stone, andere Gitarren-Pop-Bands, waren halt irgendwie so ein bisschen gehypt und sind auf so einer Welle mitgeschwommen. In Japan gab es da relativ viel Erfolg, aber das ebbte dann halt auch ganz normal wieder ab. Und höchstens so Bands wie Cardigans, die halt mega erfolgreich sind, könnten wahrscheinlich nie untergehen, meinten zumindest X-Stone. Gibt es denn andere Bands zurzeit, die Jungs empfehlen können?
Well, yes, actually there is. It's a band called Granada. It's a girl and a guy who sings, I think. And the girl has a voice somewhere between Nina and Cardigans and Stina Nordenstam. Yeah, so she has a really cool voice, I think. It's a good pop band, very smooth, and yeah, I like them. But anything else? But what else? I don't know. I mean,
I haven't heard that many new bands. I mean, we haven't really have the time to go to like demo gigs, and we're working very hard, and of course there are a lot of good bands. I think the music scene is very good in Sweden. It's very healthy. It's just that I'm not very updated with it, sad to say.
The time to look around, I think there are a lot of good bands. and hopefully some of them will get the have the opportunity to show themselves for a bigger market and outside of Sweden as well.
Also eine Band wurde hier genannt, Granada heißen die, so eine Mischung aus der Stimme von den Cardigans und Stina Nordenstam. Und klingt vielleicht gar nicht so schlecht, mal auschecken. Und so viel Zeit haben die Jungs gar nicht, auf Konzerte zu gehen. Frage, hängt das damit zusammen, dass sie ihr Album irgendwie selbst aufgenommen und produziert haben? Oder warum haben die keine Zeit? Familienväter oder sowas?
We are very much involved with everything. So, I mean, we have been, you know, doing the videos. We've been choosing manuscripts for the videos. We've been choosing CD covers. We want to do everything. So, and of course it takes time to do that.
Okay, noch ein Song von Escobar, Save the Day.
Seen you here a thousand times before, I never wondered who you are, till today I never cared. Read your books and change your looks, and so do I, and so I wondered why, till today I never cared. Do I still care? Do I
waren Escobar mit dem Song Save the Day. Wie findet denn bei der Band eigentlich der Songwriting-Prozess statt?
I usually write most of the ideas on guitar and I do the melody and the lyrics and in the texts and stuff, and then I show it to Frederick and Robert, and if they like it we do the necessary changes and put extra stuff in there and, you know, throw everything around and change some stuff and it's a song.
Ja, auf dem neuen Album There's Only Now gibt es ein Duett mit Heather Nova Und ist ja schon ein bisschen merkwürdig. Wie kam es denn dazu überhaupt?
On the first album we have a duet as well. It's called Sun in My Eyes with a Swedish girl called Sara Isaksson. And well, we were just talking about having a duet on the new one as well, because we really think that's a good spice to add to the whole thing, and another voice like that. And so we're talking about people's voices that we like. We're very much, I mean, I'm a voice freak, and I think we're all very much into voices. So yeah, we're talking about voices we like, you know, like Björk and Heather and, you know, some other people. And well, we didn't really decide anything, and then some, you know, someone from our record company talked to Heather, because she's on the same label in England, and then suddenly they just gave us a call and said she's coming over in 2 days, and she did.
Ja, also irgendwie sind die drei Jungs Voice Freaks, wie sie es gesagt haben, hatten so einige Ideen, wie man da nehmen könnte für ein Duett, und dann war es im Prinzip die Plattenfirma, die den Ausschlag gab. Und seid ihr denn zufrieden mit dem Ganzen, also mit dem Album an sich?
Yeah, we're very happy with the result, and our goal has been to try to mix the original, you know, guitar music with some more electronic stuff. And we tried before the first album as well, but we never found the right producer then. We really click with this producer, so yeah, we're very happy with it.
Also die Jungs sind zufrieden, obwohl man eigentlich anmerken müsste, kritisch, dass das Ganze doch sehr eingängig geworden ist von den Songs her.
This time it's more choruses, you know, that are easier to remember than on the last one. There's always a risk, of course, with that. As you said, you know, you don't want it to be chewing gum puff that you like for a day and then it's gone, you know.
Ja, ihr hört die Stücke ja eigentlich jeden Tag. Es ist da denn nicht schwer zu entscheiden, ob ein Song überhaupt noch okay ist oder schon zu eingängig ist? Und wie kann man überhaupt einschätzen, ob das Publikum so reagiert?
The thing is, we are very, very egoistic when it comes to our music, and we don't really think about what, we don't really care about what other people will think. As long as we like it, you know, it's cool. I mean, I expect a lot of reviews to be critical about the sound because of the change from the first one, and you know, people said, you know, you're like this and that, and Jeff Buckley, and you know, I don't know, whatever, Nick Drake and stuff, and now it's more electronic, and it has more of a today's sound on the songs.
I think if you just peel off some of the electronics, and then you find the old Escobar.
The songs are written in the same way on acoustic guitar and everything, but then we use different sounds, so we say it's like the same type of songs in a new costume, that's all.
So we just have to do what we feel like, and as Daniel said before, it could be considered egoistic, but we do it to make ourselves feel good, and if someone else also feels good.
I mean, we want to share our music and with people, and you know, we've always said that if you like it, like it, if you don't, then just don't listen. I mean, it's very simple, and but we're very happy with that people like our music, of course. I mean, but first it is for us. First it's made for us.
Also auf dem ersten Album von Escobar, Till We're Dead, klang die Band noch so ein bisschen, ja, Singer-Songwriter orientierter. Jeff Buckley oder Nick Drake wurden oft als Einflüsse genannt. Das neue Album ist dann sehr viel poppiger, elektronischer geworden. Und die Band sagt selbst, dass sie da sehr egoistisch ist und dass sie einfach machen, wo sie Lust haben. Dass aber die Songs an sich, also das Grundgerüst, eigentlich immer noch typische Escobar-Songs sind. Und wenn man genau hinhört, kann man das, denke ich, auch raushören.